On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh boy.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, they're a bit weird, all right. And today we're going to focus on that weirdness. This is a special edition of the program. Ira Shapiro has written a book that is quite fascinating. It's about Mitch McConnell, who recently retired from Congress after 300 years, it seems like. Who was this man? What did he stand for? What was his point? What was his motive of operation? We take a look at that today, and he's recently retired and endorsed and embraced Donald Trump for president again of the United States after maligning him on the January 6th escapade. Trump also maligned McConnell's family. It's weird. Anyway, today we take a look at that and how, in Ira Shapiro's estimation, the Republicans of today have abandoned America. And we're going to take a look at that. And actually, let's do that right now. It's an extended interview. Here we go. Ira Shapiro is a former state staffer and author of The Betrayal, How Mitch McConnell and the Senate Republicans Abandoned America. And that's available now, Ira?
It's available in hardback, and the updated edition in paperback can be pre-ordered. Doesn't come out till May 14th.
Wonderful, wonderful. We'll get it before it sells out. And thanks for being with us today. It's a pleasure to speak to you about this particular topic that apparently has blossomed it blossomed after you wrote the book, I assume.
Well, it did, and in terms of his announcing that he would no longer be leader, but the book, the foreword to the book, the paperback, will reflect this. I had kind of predicted it already, but the exact timing of his announcement was surprising, I think.
Yes. You know, it's interesting to me, Ira. People come up to me all the time and say, Ron, tell me what's going on in the world and what's happening in the country. And I just stare at them and I go, excuse me, you don't know? It's a little bit scary in that sense. Do you find that to be the case, that the general public doesn't really seem to know what's going on all that much?
Well, I think it is a concern, and I'm very aware that the area that I work in and the people that I talk to tend to be very focused on what's going on. Mm-hmm. Other people may be less so, but I believe that a lot of Americans across the board mm-hmm. have a general sense of what's going on. It's a frustration, of course, to me, that after all this time, Donald Trump remains a formidable figure mm-hmm. and he's almost the certain nominee of his party.
Yes.
When I think that he should have been eliminated from being able to run for office 3 years ago when the Senate had the second impeachment trial. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, brings us around to Senator McConnell's important role. I've been asked about his legacy, and I think his principal legacy, Ron, from my view, is mm-hmm. one thing that he did, the creation of a extreme Supreme Court by blocking Merrick Garland's nomination and then ramming through three others. Mm-hmm. And one thing he didn't do, which was stop Donald Trump's assault on our democracy.
Correct.
When he could have. So that's a big legacy. And here we are into the election year and facing the consequences of McConnell's actions. And failure to act.
Would you say that McConnell had progressed one way or degressed in another way since his beginning with the Senate? Was he going uphill as far as democracy was concerned? Or was there a turn somewhere where he abandoned principles?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say that in the beginning of his Senate career, more than 40 years ago, he was kind of a garden variety conservative Republican. Over time, as he rose in power, he changed to be more of a unprincipled player in terms of simply caring about his power and, more important, actually, Republican power. And that you can see that in his opposition from day one to everything Barack Obama wanted to do.
Yes.
And he did a lot to diminish the effect of Barack Obama's, the bright promise of Barack Obama's presidency, I think. We could go over that, but it would take a while. But the point is, when Donald Trump became president, he became a partisan battering ram for things like tax cuts for the wealthiest, but more important, the Supreme Court.
Right.
And yet, as it became clear that Trump posed a real threat to our constitutional order, McConnell, who had the responsibility, along with the other senators, of checking him, failed to do so. So, and now we find that he's being sort of left behind as the Republican Party and the Senate Republicans become more Trumpist.
Right.
So, as he said in his speech when he announced that he would not be running for leader again, I have many faults, but I don't. One of them is not misunderstanding the politics. He understands that his party has changed and, in a sense, left him behind. But he created a lot of that by letting Trump run wild.
Yes. Did McConnell fall prey to power?
Oh, the old Lord Acton saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I would say that yes, but I would also go on to say that he's a very successful politician in terms of his objectives, right? No one in my memory, I think it's possible, no one in Senate history has had as much impact as McConnell.
Mm-hmm.
I've written at different times in the last 10 years that we've been living in Mitch McConnell's America. Unlimited money in the campaigns, tax cuts for the rich, health care never quite secure because it could be always taken away, and a judiciary that he would like to say is conservative, but I think by any real measure is simply very extreme, radicalized and extreme. So we've been living in McConnell's America, and we still are.
Yeah. Because he transformed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, even when
And that's an interesting point, because sometimes the question comes up, well, look, it's a partisan, divided, polarized country, and he's just an effective partisan. What do you expect?
Right.
And the answer is, it's actually a partisan, divided, polarized country for many reasons, but one of them is he made it that way by passing up every opportunity to work, almost every opportunity, mm-hmm. to work on a bipartisan basis, never turning the heat down, always up, and inflaming differences rather than reconciling and bringing people together.
Yeah. I was alive during the Tip O'Neill days. I don't know your age, but I think you know what I'm talking about, where Congress actually seemed to work okay, and things were getting done in the long run anyway. I miss that, and I can't at my age kind of fathom how we got to this point from that point.
I think, well, that's of course a fundamental question that we all sort of marvel about. My first book, written back in 12 years ago, was called The Last Great Senate, which talked about how the Senate particularly, but a whole, the political system worked in the late 70s, say. So it worked much differently.
Yes.
I'd say two things happened. One, genuine, well, more than two, but one is genuine differences between the parties got bigger, right?
Yes.
You know, there aren't as many conservative Democrats. There aren't liberal Republicans. The parties lined up and True. Sort of polarized True. On regional, racial, et cetera, basis. Mm-hmm. So that's legitimate. It's harder to make those kind of compromises. But the other thing is people and political leaders particularly who sought to change politics in different ways. One of them, who is known for this, of course, was Newt Gingrich, who made politics more like war, and more ugly and destructive, and was very successful at worsening our politics. Mm-hmm. And the other was McConnell, who practiced the politics of obstruction when there were Democrats in power, and the politics of partisanship and ramming things through when the Republicans were in power. I guess what I'm saying in a long way, Ron, I'm sorry to go on like this, but it didn't have to be that way.
Right.
It, you know, we could have leaders, and we do, like Joe Biden, who try to do their best to bring people together, because legislating and governing in a diverse, contentious society is always difficult. But you try to bring people together and you can find common ground. And that has not been McConnell's approach, with the notable exception, by the way, he is quite strongly supportive, and I commend him for it, helping Ukraine, say, helping Israel, right. Taiwan. He has some convictions in that area, and I think it's commendable. But otherwise, it's pure partisan
Right.
warrior stuff.
Right. One of the most interesting incidents of recent weeks was when an immigration bill was offered, and in order to do something of some significance to resolve the border crisis, and most of the Republicans, including McConnell, said, you know, we got to save this for Trump. If he become, we don't want to give credit to Biden, no matter what, even if it's a good thing. We've got to save it for Trump, and then when he's president, he can do it and take credit for it. They actually said that. It wasn't intimated. It was spoken that way.
It was terrible.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, for a long time they've railed about the genuine, I mean, the crisis at the border is a crisis.
Yes, it is.
But when Biden and the senators on a bipartisan basis, several of them who negotiated a tough border control package,
right.
The Republicans did, as you said, we can't do that. We got to save that as a campaign issue.
Yeah.
And it's a disgraceful performance. But I think that, and for McConnell has never really cared about the border. In his long career, he's always stayed away from the immigration issue. He cared about Ukraine. He does care about that. And so he's been trying, I think, to figure out a way that, well, if we can't do the border too, maybe we can at least do the support for Ukraine. But right now, it's in the hands of Speaker Mike Johnson,
right.
who is, even by the standards of House leaders, kind of a disaster. So we'll see if he can be pressured to put the legislation on the floor, where even in the House, aid to Ukraine and along with Israel and Taiwan, I think would pass comfortably.
Yeah, and would also blow up in the face as a campaign plus.
Yeah, right.
But so, right. Whatever, that seems to be the case. Let's talk about McConnell's departure, even though it's not in the body of the book. It was kind of obvious that that was the case for physical reasons. In your estimation, personally, was it for physical reasons or was it for mental reasons?
No, and there's physical, there's mental, and there's political.
Yeah, okay.
I do think, you know, I'm sure when McConnell calculated, when he inventoried how he felt about it, I'm quite sure age and health problems entered into his thinking. But I also think that he knows that the caucus has moved in a Trumpist direction, and that he wouldn't have been retained as leader. He could not have won another term as leader. And I think all of those things enter into this, plus the fact, I suppose, that at some level, McConnell likes to sort of tweak Biden by suggesting that, you know, you ought to know what time, when you're old, it's time to pass the mantle to someone else.
I guess.
He can tweak them that way. Mm. And, but I think I predicted he would leave or announced that he would leave at the end of the year. I think it's the right thing to do for a variety of reasons. I'm just stunned, though, Ron, by the impact of his actions and his failures and what they're doing to our country right now. Right. I mean, here's Trump able to run for president again because the Senate failed to convict him 3 years ago in the second impeachment trial. That's McConnell's failure. McConnell, as you know, spoke, and your listeners know, he gave a very strong speech about Trump having incited the attack on the Capitol, and then decided not to convict him.
That is a strange thing. Yeah.
And then you have the other part of it, which is McConnell's, the extreme Supreme Court that McConnell was able to create is now helping Trump by sort of obviously delaying, in an inexplicable way, the case on whether Trump has immunity from prosecution.
Right.
So McConnell's handiwork is everywhere and with very devastating effect on our democracy.
It's very interesting and it's absolutely true. And he's going to probably have to live with the ramification of that if things go in a particular direction.
Well, it's interesting to, I mean, look, I'm always asked what does McConnell think about what he's done? Mm-hmm. And I suspect he has his regrets. And to be honest, I think I'm quite sure that at the time of the second impeachment trial, he felt Trump was still too popular among Republicans to take down, but that his power would wither away when he was out of office. And that proved to be a bad bet.
That's for sure. McConnell seemed like a very strong individual, strong-willed, but at the same time, it seems like he, in many situations, his position was just reading the crowd and going along with what the temperature seemed to be.
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, certainly, part of the reason he stayed as a leader for record amounts of time, longer than any Senate leader, was his understanding of his caucus. And he understood them. He understood what they needed, what they felt, what he could accomplish. And I would not underestimate the fact that he has been perhaps the greatest fundraiser of all time. So McConnell's ability to raise money from the donor base that he understands and then to spread it around is a very, very powerful part of of his hold on the Republicans. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of factors to it, but his understanding of the caucus has been shifting as they've shifted in the Trumpist direction.
Right.
I think 2/3 of them would probably be not McConnell supporters at this point.
Yeah, probably. Let me ask you something that's outside the realm of the book that I've always been curious about, because you have great knowledge and experience in this. If there is a Republican who supports Trump, and there are many, and they realize that the insurrection took place, and they realize that Trump sat in the White House and did nothing about it for hours and hours, and they realize all of that, and that Trump actually would love to be a dictator and to stay in power for the rest of his life. What goes on in the head? It's like, okay, if he's a dictator and he changes democracy, at least we'll be in power, and then we can really get things done. Would that be an actual thought process?
I don't know that that's the thought. I don't know that that's the exact thought process, Ron, and I don't claim to understand all of them.
Right.
But I think that basically two things. One, I start the book, and I started the book 2 years ago with a quote that is was famous from somebody in the Kennedy administration, George Ball, who dissented from the escalation in Vietnam. He's the only one. And he said, "He who rides the tiger cannot choose where he dismounts."
Mm.
And the reason I think that's a powerful quote is that for McConnell and for the others, they thought they could manage Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been able, that hasn't worked out. He who rides the tiger cannot choose where he dismounts. Trump remains popular. They're Republicans. They're all these people that will be endorsing him for president or have already endorsed him. A vast majority of them, the Senate Republicans particularly, know that he's unfit to be president. And yet they're going to endorse him. Now, why? Well, the Republicans want him, and we're Republicans, number one. And then there's the, you know, the infinite capacity that people have, I think, to rationalize their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take Rob Portman, very respectable Republican senator who's retired now. Mm-hmm. Rob Portman wouldn't say he's scared of Trump or anything like that. He would say, I could do more for Ohio if I got along with the president.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I wasn't there, someone more radical would be there. Infinite numbers of rationalizations which end up to, you didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You had a fundamental responsibility as United States senators. Your role was to be a check in the system on a president that was overreaching. And you found a way not to do anything. Somebody said to me, how can you, the betrayal, my title of my book, is a very harsh term. Are you sure that it was a betrayal? I said, well, if you think that's their fundamental responsibility, and if you think that they knowingly and repeatedly failed to stop Trump in his assault on our democracy, knowing and repeated, yeah, that comes out to be a betrayal of dereliction of duty that rises to the level of betrayal.
Yeah, according to the Constitution. All right. This has been fascinating, I got to tell you, and incredible. I'd like to be able...
Difficult times.
It is very difficult times. Yeah,
difficult times.
It is.
And And we were in a, you know, look, from a political standpoint and in terms of personal standpoints, I mean, we were in difficult times before this yes. horrific situation we in were. The Middle East.
We were.
And this has been putting unbearable pressure on the political system and on mm-hmm. and on country.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are ways around that too. It's a question.
Yes, there are.
Yep, there's a question of stepping up and not being controlled by popularity and such. Anyway, yeah, it's interesting. This particular election coming up, we don't vote for people anymore. We vote against someone else. That's how we vote. And interesting, this time around, though, we've got 4 years of each candidate, so we should be able to make a very informed choice based on just that. The actions of both have been there for 4 years. Okay.
Well, one would hope.
Yeah, one would hope.
One would hope that that's a judgment.
I don't have enough fingers to cross for that. Okay. The book is it's fascinating. It's going to be out soon, but you can find it somewhere. It's The Betrayal: How Mitch McConnell and the Senate Republicans Abandoned America. Is there a website, Ira?
Is there a website?
Yeah. If not, let's get
www.irashapiroauthor.com.
There you go. There is one. Okay.
There is one.
That's where you
But look, you know, authors can't Amazon, you can't live with them and you can't live without them.
I know.
Easiest to pre-order through Amazon.
Perfect. Okay. We'd like to be in touch with you in a few months and just catch up. I think that'd be kind of fun and informative for the public. So I'd like to be able to do that.
I'd love to do that, Ron.
And
it'd be great to be back with you.
Great. I thank you so much for your time today. It's Ira Shapiro, The Betrayal, How Mitch McConnell and the Senate Republicans Abandoned America. Take care, Ira. Thank you so much. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you to Ira Shapiro, and thank you to you for listening. I hope things aren't as weird in the near future, but who knows, they could get weirder. So until next time, like tomorrow, I wish you peace.